And he's not just graceful, he's strong and determined. And look at the acceleration. It's a wonderful run from Kaká. It's a wonderful goal from Kaká.
Here's Raul. Ho-ho. Zidane. Oh,
Bein Sports Connect, Australia's number one football streaming destination. The Euro Show with Adriano Del Monte on FNR, Football Nation Radio.
Hello and welcome as always to the Euro Show here on FNR, Football Nation Radio, your voice of football in Australia. Adriano Del Monte here with you, taking you through all the latest from Europa. Well, most of the round of La Liga finished. We'll bring you all the results. Five fixtures this morning. There was FA Cup action, Greek Cup action, Coppa Italia, Coupe de France. Plenty of results to get through. And then, of course, we'll turn our attentions to the weekend because it is a beautiful time of year, the February-March period. Lots and lots of football. We have a full preview of, well, La Liga every day, 7 days straight of La Liga action. Plenty to whet your appetite there. Liga and Bundesliga, Serie A, of course, and plenty of transfers. As always, still to come. All the news across Europe with me, Adriano Del Monte, and Rick D'Andrea, who joins me in the studio now to take you through all of the latest. The lines are open, as always, 9944 9999 if you'd like to get involved in the conversation. We're also on Twitter at FNR_radio. Welcome to you, Rick.
Thank you, Adrian. Good to be here.
Good to see you. Now, before we get into the results, need to make a small announcement before we get underway about a giveaway here on FNR right across the network in the lead up to Easter. Now, Rick, did you know that a colomba is the traditional Easter dove cake?
I kind of did.
Okay,
I
mean, you knew
from
that.
From my heritage, yes, I did.
Okay, you knew that. Well, with thanks to our great friends at Ital, you can win a premium-packed Ital colomba along with Ital's new and improved Greek koulourakia.
Interesting. I didn't know that part.
That's the egg twist biscuit, of course. Rick, all you need to do is be the best caller during the show and you'll be in the running to win Ital's delicious colomba. Give us a call on the talkback line. That number again, 9944 9999. La Liga this weekend, plenty to come, but we'll start with the midweek action. There were five fixtures this morning, as I said. Of course, Real Madrid, the big, big shock yesterday, losing 1-0 to Espanyol to kickstart this midweek round. Zinedine Zidane penalised for controversially resting Cristiano Ronaldo. Atletico Madrid, their cross-town rivals, were in action this morning, and they were as impressive as always. They took on a Leganés side who have taken care of Real Madrid this season, but they were no match for Atleti. Antoine Griezmann, four goals, all four of Atleti's goals. It finished Atleti 4, Leganés 0. Interesting time for Atleti because so many players have moved on. We've touched on it this week. Just 17 outfield players remain. They still remain very strong. 4-0. That is now 9 goals in their last 2 La Liga fixtures and 7 of those goals coming from Griezmann.
He's on fire at the moment. The last 4 days, he has known exactly where to put the ball, and that is in the back of the net. Atletico Madrid, they're going through a bit of an interesting phase. Like you just mentioned, they're down to 17 outfield players, but now they're also down to 2 goalkeepers with their reserve goalkeeper Moya off to Real Sociedad. He was only loaned out for the rest of the season due to an emergency situation. But he's also just signed a brand new deal tying him to the club there. So very interesting times. We'll have to wait and see how Diego Simeone reacts to only having 19 players now available for his team.
And of course, Fernando Torres and also Griezmann, both players linked with moves away in the summer as well. Griezmann, we brought to your attention yesterday that reports in Spain gaining serious momentum that Barcelona are set to make a move for him. So it could be a big change in the summer for Atleti.
It could be, but I think from what's been murmuring about, Fernando Torres and Diego Simeone have sort of patched up their differences. Diego Godin, the defender, has come out and said this news as well. So we'll have to wait and see how it all goes come the end of the season and whether the depth will be required, but I'm sure it will be now.
Valencia were playing in Bilbao. Of course, Valencia in the top 4, gunning for a spot in the Champions League next season. Unfortunately, they couldn't take full advantage of Real's slip-up. They were held 1-1 away to Bilbao. Aduriz missing a penalty. So 1-1 finishes there. Getafe, they continued having a fine season indeed. A 3-0 win at home to the struggling Deportivo La Coruña. Getafe up to 9th with the win. Deportivo have been very poor under poor old Claren Seedorf. They have not scored a goal since he's been in charge. A disastrous period continues.
Yeah, unfortunately, Claren Seedorf, I think you've picked the wrong club to try and save and woo the fans over. I don't think they're going to survive now. I think their fate's pretty much sealed. As for Bilbao Valencia, we sort of did tip that this could be one of those matches because they have been so tight over the years on the table. This could have been one of those matches that was going to end in a draw. It did. The thing that has interested me, and we'll pick this up in a moment, is the title for the race for six spots now opened up. And there's a few teams that are in contention that could even possibly overtake Seville and actually get into the Europa League.
Well said, because Eibar Villarreal was a huge, huge match, and Eibar incredibly winning it 1-0 to narrow the gap between them in seventh and Villarreal in sixth to just 3 points. Still 12 rounds remaining in the Spanish top flight. Eibar well and truly in with a chance of Europa League action next season. And keep in mind that due to the fact that, well, Barcelona will probably win the Copa del Rey, the seventh place will get Europa League action next season. So Eibar, Girona, Getafe, Betis, Celta Vigo, they're just separated by 3 points. That's seventh through 11th. So lots of those mid-table sides in with a chance.
Absolutely. Seville, though, we have to remind people and remind our listeners, they will go through to the Europa League based solely on them being in the Copa del Rey final. They've already qualified, Barcelona being the other team as well. So Barcelona go to the champions, Seville will go through. But at least that spot, that automatic spot into the Europa League will be up for grabs. And, you know, even for just pride's sake, this is where it'll come down to. Seville will want to get fifth. They are seen as the fifth best team in Spain at the moment. They may even argue they're the fourth best team, but they will want this spot and they will want to get it.
Yeah, no doubt. And they did have a win this morning as well, so that helps them there. 1-0 away to Malaga. Malaga bottom, 13 points from 26 fixtures. That's just half a point per game. They are destined for relegation. They're without goals, wins, and really anything for a very long time. No win since a 2-0 win away to Sociedad December 10. So Malaga, a few of these big sides, Malaga, Deportivo, we've seen them in the Champions League in the past. Now, how the mighty have fallen. Malaga destined for relegation this season. Three fixtures to wrap up the midweek round. We'll preview that along with the other 10 fixtures in the next round this weekend coming up later in the show. Moving on to some of the cup action across Europe. We'll start with the Coppa Italia. The two second leg semi-finals, Juve-Atalanta, Lazio-Milan. Let's start with the latter there. Lazio-Milan, of course, the first leg in Milan at the San Siro. 0-0 it finished. And would you believe it, after 120 minutes, so 210 in total, 0-0 it finished again. Inzaghi's Lazio, Gattuso's Milan. And in the end, it was the Rossoneri who emerged triumphant on penalties to book their spot in the final.
They had to do it the hard way at penalties because they were even down at one stage. I think Ciro Immobile scored the first one and then the next two were actually missed. So they had to do it the hard way and come back from that 1-0 deficit to go through. Obviously, congratulations to Alessio Romagnoli, who did score the winning penalty. That was good for him. However, the match should have been wrapped up, A, for me, by Lazio before half-time, B, before by Milan at full-time. And then Kalinic actually had an absolute sitter. He probably would have nailed this had he had a lot of more confidence, and even at Fiorentina, but unfortunately, he just could not get it past the goalkeeper and actually put it on target. So it could have gone either way. In the end, you'd probably say Milan, they were lucky to get and come away with the victory and even the cup tie. But what it bodes for the final, we'll have to wait and see, because Juventus did look interesting. Probably not their best, but they were coming back and showing some good signs.
You touched on Kalinic. Very, very poor performance again. Easily has to be one of the most disappointing performances of the season and one of the worst transfers of the season as well, particularly with Milan splashing so much cash. But as they always do, the Milan club in Melbourne have tweeted us suggesting that Donnarumma is totally worth the $6 million a year. So they were lucky, well, fortunate to keep hold of him, given the fact that there was obviously some talk that he would move on. Another good performance, another clean sheet. That's six straight clean sheets for Gattuso's Milan now. 13 matches unbeaten. No one would have tipped this in their right mind after the start that Gattuso had, which of course included defeat in Croatia against Rijeka and that infamous draw against Benevento. But 13 unbeaten, six straight clean sheets. Well, they won. They won this match again. So it's more success. The club go to a final. It's good times at AC Milan. And they'll have to back it up in a few days because the Derby della Madonnina against Inter this weekend will be as big a Milan derby as it has been for, well, I'd argue the best part of this decade, because it's been a long time since both clubs have been up there. Inter, of course, in contrasting form at the moment. But if Milan win this weekend, they will be as happy as they've been for some time. So good to see Gattuso and Milan book their tickets to the final, where they will take on Juventus, who edged out Atalanta. Juve Atalanta, of course, were meant to play twice in the space of 4 days. Their league fixture at the weekend postponed due to snow. Allegri going with a similar side that was going to line up in that clash at the weekend. They took on Atalanta at home, a Milan Pjanic penalty. The difference, 1-0 it finishes, and penalties, Rick, the difference here, because, of course, Papu Gomez missing a penalty in the first leg in Bergamo, Pjanic sealing Juve's passage through here. 1-0, fair result.
Fair result, probably. Atalanta did play it a little bit better. There was even a chance this match was going to be snowed out as well, because the temperatures in Turin, I think, were down to -6 or -7 degrees. There was snow falling prior to the game. So there was a chance this one may not have even gone ahead, and the Lega, the FIGC, would have had to have rescheduled this if possible. So getting back from that, Blaise Midowidi, he came back into the side. Claudio Marchisio alongside him, Middle and Pjanic. That was the difference for me. Midowidi just knew how to control the tempo of the game, knew when to sort of advance, knew when to drop back, and just sort of kept the Nerazzurri attackers at bay. Iličić, Gomez, Cristante, they were kept very muted in this one. So well done to them. They strategically played this. Alexandro, I will have to say this, I'm starting to warm to him as a left winger. Asamoah had to play left back. Sandro, because of the injuries at Juve that we keep on mentioning with Bernardeschi and Cuadrado and et al., I'm starting to warm to him. He's shown me a little bit of promise, and I'd be surprised if Tite even doesn't take him as a reserve player. May not even get used for the World Cup.
He certainly can play, can't he?
He absolutely can. That speed that he shows and the tracking back that he's able to do with Asamoah, I think the two of them are starting to work together now. And it has been something that Juve have lacked over the years, the two of them combining.
He's a wonderful player. I'm sure we will see him at the World Cup, and obviously showing his adaptability to play in a range of positions. Amazing result for Juventus, now appearing in a fourth straight Coppa Italia final. And credit must be given to Allegri, the manager, because obviously all the titles he's won. Now, this is the sixth final he will take Juve to in 4 years. That is a fair effort. Obviously, a couple of Champions League finals, 4 Coppa Italia finals now. A great record for Allegri. But there was, I know you watched this match very closely, Rick, there was a huge opportunity for Gomez with the scores tied at 0-0 midway through the second half. I think it was about the 64th, 65th minute. Buffon was miles off his line.
Yep.
A long, long, long way off his line. And Gomez just hit. And it
hit and hoped.
It crashed into the bar. It could have been very different, but it just goes to show how good Atalanta have been this season, because it was always going to be difficult for this very talented yet obviously thin squad in comparison to the likes of Juve and the big clubs around Europe. They obviously were in the Europa League, knocked out by Dortmund with the last kick of the game in the round of 32, but they did so well to juggle the Europa League commitments with the Coppa Italia, with the Serie A, and to make it to the semi-finals just goes to show the work being done there, and it has been a success.
Absolutely. I have to agree with you 100%. Just at that time when Buffon and Gomez were having their one-on-one type moment, Atalanta started to get back into the game and they started to wrestle a little bit of the control. It's just a pity that 10 minutes later there was a foul in the box, which could have gone either way, to be honest. It was a 50-50 call. In this case, it went obviously in favour of Juve. It could have gone either way. Even Gasperini, the Atalanta coach, at the end of the match said, well, you know what? It wasn't a penalty for our team against us, I should say. It was a bit unlucky. Juve were a tad unlucky, but I don't think Atalanta created enough other than that rule chance, and maybe one other one that I remember in the first half, to actually see them scoring 2 goals and actually progressing.
So, well,
It maybe comes down to an experience, but they are improving.
Well, Juve are through to the final. They will meet Milan in early May.
May 9 is when the match has been scheduled for at this
May
stage.
May 9. There you are. May 10 local time here in Australia. The match will be played at the Stadio Olimpico in Rome. So exciting. Obviously, Bonucci will be taking on his former side for a cup, which will be thrilling. He's still yet to play against Juventus, of course, because he missed the first meeting through injury. They do meet in the league in a few weeks' time, and obviously now the Coppa Italia final. So Bonucci will certainly be keen to get one back on his former teammates. Now, elsewhere in Europe, the Coupe de France quarterfinals, PSG Marseille, another of the matchups. There were three top matchups in European football this weekend where they met and then met again in a cup. This was one, PSG Marseille. No Neymar, no worries. 3-0 at finish and Di Maria with a double. You said he'd be a great inclusion yesterday and he proved you exactly right.
Exactly right. Thank you very much, Angel Di Maria. Now go to the Argentinian team and do the exact same thing at the World Cup. Nonetheless, I digress. His goals came at either side of halftime. That's when basically PSG got on the front foot, started to dominate. They were already, you know, welling ahead. They were charging forward. They just couldn't quite, you know, create enough chances to sort of get through and score. He comes in, he does his job. Edison Cavani gets the other one. I think they almost played a little bit better the second time round, having faced Marseille only a few days ago, than they did in Le Classic in the Ligue 1. Whether that was down to confidence, whether it was because this is what they now want to win, I'm not 100% certain, but you know, they've just progressed through to a semi-final. What more do you really want?
They're certainly on track to win another cup here. They're doing wonderful things, of course. Now, the big story, though, of this stage of the competition, well, we thought it came yesterday with L'Herbier taking care of Lens 1-0 right at the death, obviously, in penalties. However, today, they were joined by another third-tier side, Chambly, who took care of Strasbourg. Now, Strasbourg were the team that defeated PSG for the first time this season. They incredibly have eliminated the Ligue 1 side, and Chambly make it two third-tier teams in the semi-final stage of the Coupe de France. That is incredible.
And what makes it even more incredible is that Chambly are actually one position below L'Herbier, who actually went through yesterday. They are also in the relegation zone. They're 2 points actually behind Herbier, and they're 3 points from bottom. So we could possibly have a Le Nationale, Nation One, basically, or National One, League Cup semi-final.
That is amazing.
If PSG happened to take on either Cannes or Lyon in the other match, we could actually have a National One match, a third division team out of France in the final. And everyone would be absolutely cheering for them. The fairy tale story would be complete.
I'd imagine that would be a pretty ugly result.
Unfortunately, you know, a 9-0, a 10-0 could be on the cards because PSG would absolutely be firing and ready to go and wanting that trophy. But you
obviously
know,
great to see.
Absolutely, and that's what you want. That's just the romanticism of football, and it could be coming to life here.
There you are. That Cannes-Lyon clash tomorrow morning, so we'll bring you the result of that next week. But we could see some interesting semi-finals, no doubt. It would be great to see one of those sides advance to the final. Greek Cup, PAOK, they are on absolute fire. They win again. That is now 17 straight wins. They've won 10 straight in the league. PAOK are in the best form in all of Europe. That's right. They have the best winning record in the league in all of Europe at the moment, tied with Napoli. Bayern Munich were also level with them, but they drew to Hertha last weekend. So PAOK have not failed. They have won every single game since late November. So 3 months of winning. They are playing wonderful football. A 3-1 win away to Panionios in the first leg of the Greek Cup. There and finally the FA Cup. Tottenham Rochdale, it was a replay. 6-1 Tottenham. All too easy there. Llorente, the ex-Juventus striker, with a hat-trick in the second half within, 12 minutes. So 6-1 Tottenham go through to the next round. One fixture of Premier League tomorrow before we get to a break. Arsenal and Manchester City. They, of course, met at the weekend in the League Cup final. They meet again here. Pressure on Arsene Wenger and Arsenal. Another poor showing from Arsene Wenger's side here, and he could be shown the door. It's about time that Wenger moves on, and I feel that if this result ends poorly, which I am predicting, it may be the end of the road for Wenger.
It's hard to say, but hashtag Wenger out will probably be raining across the stadium, the Emirates Stadium there on tomorrow morning, I should say. I hope he does stay because it just provides another year of misery for Arsenal supporters. I don't want to say that all too often, but it'd be very nice to see, especially now that they have to go and play AC Milan next week. So that'll be interesting in the Europa League. I'm going to say 2-0 probably to Man City at this stage. They just look too good.
I think they'll do it very, very comfortably. We're off to a break. On the other side, we'll look ahead to all the weekend action across Italy, Germany, Spain and France. Plenty more still to come here with Adriano and Rick on FNR Football Nation Radio. Your voice of football in Australia.
And he's not just graceful, he's strong and determined. And look at the acceleration. It's a wonderful run from Kaká. It's a wonderful goal from Kaká.
And here's Raul. Ho-ho! Zidane!
Bein Sports Connect, Australia's number one football streaming destination. The Euro Show with Adriano Del Monte on FNR, Football Nation Radio.
Welcome back. You are listening to the Euro Show here on FNR Football Nation Radio with Adriano Del Monte and Rick D'Andrea. The lines are still open, 9944 9999. And make sure you get involved in the conversation because with thanks to our great friends at Ital, you can win a premium-packed Ital Colomba along with Ital's new and improved egg twist biscuit, the Greek koulourakia. So make sure you get involved. We'll be giving them away across the network all week and I believe in the lead-up to Easter. So 9944 9999. I'll also throw one in for the best tweet. At FNR underscore radio is where you can find us there. Italian Serie A time. We will look ahead to the round of matches to come this weekend. Of course, we touched on the Coppa Italia semi-finals. Juve and AC Milan advancing to the finals. A very busy period for Juventus. 6 matches, including the one played this morning, in the next 18 days. Napoli with just 3 in that same period. And 4 points, the difference between the two sides at the top of the Serie A table. Of course, Juve with a match in hand still. So they win that, it will be back down to 1. But lots of football still to be played. And we'll start with Juve, who take on Lazio at the Stadio Olimpico this weekend. A huge, huge fixture for Juventus. A big test against the Lazio side, who have won their last couple in the league against Sassuolo and Verona, respectively, after one of their poorer runs this season. All to play for, but Juve simply must win.
That's the answer. That's it. You've nailed it on the head. They just have to keep on winning. I mean, having the break last weekend probably didn't help their title chances too much, as they probably wanted to keep the pressure on Napoli, but that is what it is, unfortunately, so they'll need to make that game up in a couple of weeks' time. It's as simple as this. If Giorgio Chiellini can stop Ciro Immobile, there's your game. It's neatly wrapped up. Lazio have basically not been able to score too many goals without the number 11 for Italy. If you can shut him down, there's your win. The other problem that probably will occur is Blaž Milojević, who is now back for Juve. He played this morning. He'll probably have to take on someone like Milinkovic-Savic or Felipe Anderson or a Lucas Leiva, one of those midfield trio that they have at Lazio. If he can shut down them, that's where the match will also be won, because Khedira will play alongside him. He will have a lot more freedom around the pitch, and that's what sort of hampered him over the last couple of weeks, especially in the Champions League. He was the defensive fulcrum, the pivot. He unfortunately didn't succeed very well in that role.
Let's go through a few Juventus numbers here, because there are some big names that you've just mentioned there who are crucial to the success of Juventus. But their recent clean sheet numbers, 9 clean sheets in the last 10, 17 in the last 19 across all competitions. Of course, in the last 10, just that 2-2 draw with Tottenham. Now, looking ahead to Lazio and also Tottenham to come in the return leg, for me, the key is a player who hasn't been playing much, and that's Claudio Marchisio. I really believe that Marchisio, we saw a glimpse of him in the Coppa Italia, 70 minutes this morning against Atalanta. Marchisio, for me, is the key to this Juventus side. Now, he hasn't been in action a lot in those last 19 fixtures, so you may be thinking, well, what are you on about if they've done well without him? However, he is so important, particularly alongside Pjanic and Matuidi. I think Marchisio completes that trio perfectly. We saw in the first leg against Tottenham, and I fear this will happen against Lazio with Milinkovic-Savic and the strong Lazio midfield, that if Marchisio is not there, Khedira has really been struggling to get on the ball. Now, I like Khedira, but his form this season has been far from promising, far from consistent. He's had a few decent games, but Marchisio brings something that Khedira does not. Can play box to box. He can sit back. He can play as a playmaker. He's got that adaptability to play in a range of positions. I don't think Allegri's used him enough this season. And I really believe that if Juve are to challenge for all three, the Coppa Italia, Serie A, and most importantly for them, the Champions League, Marchisio is absolutely pivotal to the success of Juventus. So I'd love to see Allegri recall him, particularly for the Tottenham clash next week. Key player, a super player, and a player I feel needs to be playing if Juve are to win the treble this season. Now, that may not be their intention, the treble. May not be. But obviously, they're a big club who want to challenge for everything. I just really believe Marchisio holds the key. Obviously, quality up front, quality down back. The defence has been solid. Buffon in between the sticks there. But Marchisio just brings something different to that side that I think they're lacking.
Yeah, I agree with you there. I think the difference for me between Marchisio and Khedira is renowned to stay a bit back. And if he's got Matuidi as his partner in crime, the two of them plus the defence, they can sort of handle anything that sort of gets thrown in them. If Allegri decides to use Marchisio, he's going for a more central option, even two attacking options when he uses Pjanic alongside him. So he's going for a more out an attack. And then when you throw in the three forwards, you know, the two wingers and the main striker, he's almost complementing the other three. So it's a different approach. It depends how, you know, how attacking wise or how much he wants to actually go on the ball and try and get a result. And obviously a big result will determine as to whether he plays Marchisio or whether he plays Khedira.
So that is a huge fixture for Juve away to Lazio, a side where they have had some success in recent seasons, but for Napoli, their rivals in the Serie A title race, a home match against Roma. This is very interesting, this one. Hard to pick. I would pick Napoli, and I will pick Napoli because they should win. But you don't know what to expect with Roma. They've been okay at times, very poor at other times. But something about Roma, they turn up for these big games. They were poor last week against AC Milan, but they will certainly be keen to bounce back against Napoli. Certainly a tough test, though, for a side who have dropped points in just four games out of their 26 this season.
You're absolutely right here. The only thing that I can see with Roma possibly not getting any of the points is, unfortunately, Lorenzo Pellegrini is out of this clash. He is injured, so he will be a big, big miss for them. Cengiz Undi has obviously been a very good player over the last month. He's worked alongside with Edin Dzeko, and they've sort of worked quite well bouncing off one another. That'll be an interesting combination that the likes of Mario Rui and Koulibaly will have to sort of handle, basically. And they're going to be tough. It's not going to be an easy thing for them.
Certainly won't be. And the biggest one, there are three huge games in Italy this weekend. Certainly the biggest round of the season. I described it earlier in the week as really a season-defining match day. This one, match day 27. But Milan and Inter, now, this is as big as it gets because Milan currently seventh, tied with Sampdoria, who are sixth, 44 points to this point. They are 7 points adrift, both those two clubs, of Inter, who occupy fourth and obviously the final Champions League qualifying position. Should Milan win this match, they are back 100%. They'll be 4 points behind Inter. Depending on what happens with Roma, that could change. But 4 points behind Inter, well and truly in the running for Champions League football next season. Should they lose, though, all of their good work could potentially come to nothing because that will mean the deficit will then be 10. So this is it for Gattuso. This is the match that he's been working towards. And 13 unbeaten will mean nothing unless they win this one.
You've just got a question, though. Milan have been playing 3 days for the last month and a bit. You've just got to wonder how fatigued they're going to be. I know these are
Inter
top
are no good at the
I
moment.
I know Inter are no good. We have said this time and time again, considering their goals last week came from their two centre-backs. We know that they are no good. But you just got to start to wonder now, after all these matches, week in, week out, week in, week out, is the fatigue starting to set in? And you've just got to wonder as well, you played 120 minutes of high-intensity football only 5-6 hours ago. Are you going to be able to back it up in a higher intensity match? It probably means a lot more to the city and also means a lot more now to your Champions League prospects going forward.
I'll tell you how this match will finish. I've just realised how it'll finish. 0-0. This match will finish 0-0, I'm almost certain. Milan, you're spot on. Milan will be fatigued, there's no doubt. 120 grueling minutes. Action-packed second leg semi-final, Coppa Italia. They're through to a final. Lots of enjoyment about that. Inter cannot score. Milan haven't really been conceding. This has nil-nil written all over it. Absolutely all over it.
The only thing that could probably determine the tie or the match would be Mauro Icardi if he decides to play and he's not injured and he's actually not sulking about it, having the captaincy and having to be this big leader that the Inter need.
Well, the big matches continue. Sixth place Sampdoria take on eighth placed Atalanta. Now, Atalanta, obviously a busy schedule recently as well. This is in Bergamo, so Sampdoria travel away from home. Obviously, they've been much stronger at home than they have been on the road this season. Just 3 wins from 12 fixtures on the road. I don't know how to call this one because Atalanta, the schedule's been a bit too busy for them, for me, for them to win this one comfortably. But this is an absolute must-win for Atalanta if they wish to maintain the pace with the Europa League potential participants for next season. So huge, huge round with the top 8 teams all meeting one another. I'll tip Atalanta in this one, but really this one, certainly a toss of a coin. Now at the other end of the table, Benevento and Verona, huge match this one. Benevento's last chance. They need to win to have any hope of staying up. They're currently 11 points behind Crotone, who are 17th. Benevento bottom. So 3 points against 19th place Verona. Absolute must for them. Another one that's almost impossible to call. It feels like all the matches this weekend are very important, and that they are. Elsewhere, Udinese, Fiorentina, Torino, Crotone, Chievo against Sassuolo. Another interesting one, 15-16. Genoa, Cagliari, and Spal. Well, tough test there at home. They take on Bologna, another must win for Spal if they want to get themselves out of the relegation zone. But plenty of big talking points to come from the weekend for sure. Some other news floating around Italy before we move on. Read a report, Rick, suggesting that when we talk Italian national team, Antonio Conte is now officially, according to Alessandro Costacurta, the top name on the list. What do we think about that? It makes sense for him to come back so soon, though. Is it the right move?
That's going to be the interesting one that we'll have to work out come the UEFA Nations League, you know, after the World Cup. He does seem to fit the build. I mean, the Italian team was quite happy to be under him. That 3-5-2, the 3-4-3 that he employed suited a lot of the Italian national team. A lot of them obviously were from him that he had under at Juve. So they all sort of seemed to have flown well. There was a lot of positive sentiment around the Italian national team after he took over from Cesare Prandelli, or Perdarelli as he was sort of known as in Italy. So the sentiment is there. He now needs to carry that forward if he is chosen, if Costacurta does officially put the stamp on it and say, you are the new coach. He will need to take that through to Poland and Portugal in August.
So Conte, Mancini and Di Biagio, the interim manager, are the 3 on the shortlist. So no Ancelotti according to that. No Ranieri, who's also been linked as well. If Conte does return to Italy, I'd be happy with that. I think most people would be satisfied with that. But there would certainly be a feeling of missed opportunity in the fact that had he just seen out, well, that run in the lead up to the 2018 World Cup and stuck with the national team after the Euro 2016 finals, the national team most certainly would have been better positioned going into the future as opposed to now a complete rebuild and a missed World Cup. So it will be a bittersweet feeling to see him return, but nevertheless, I'm sure the right move for Italian football going forward. Over to the Bundesliga, plenty of action there as always. A reminder, 3 points separating 2nd through 6th, 19 points between the Giants Bayern Munich and 2nd place Borussia Dortmund. Both teams in action this weekend, of course. Bayern Munich looking to bounce back from a disappointing home draw to Hertha Berlin. They travel to Freiburg away from home, while Dortmund away to Leipzig, certainly the pick of the matches this weekend. Dortmund, of course, held 1-1 to Augsburg at the weekend. So Dortmund and Leipzig, they've met a few times this season. Most recently it was a 3-2 win for Leipzig away from home. Looking forward to this one. Leipzig, though, 3 straight defeats in all competitions. However, one of those defeats still ensured progress against Napoli in the Europa League after a 3-1 first leg win. So a couple of defeats on the spin for Leipzig. They'll be hoping to bounce back. They lost to bottom place Cologne last weekend against Dortmund. I'm tipping Leipzig will win, but Dortmund will certainly put up a fight, and I think both teams will score in this one.
I was about to say they'll both score. I can see at least a 2-2 draw being the minimum scoreline in this. I mean, 3-3, even a 4-4 could even be a possibility. Both teams really need to go out there and start showing their credentials up front. We know Matt has constantly talked about Dortmund winning, but winning ugly is essentially the way he's been putting it. They've been getting the result, but not doing it with any form of beauty or style. Mm. So they've been, you know, very workmanlike. They need to now show that they can actually match it and beat a lot of these big teams in and around that 2-6 pack.
Speaking of Matt, his Mönchengladbach take on Werder Bremen at home. Augsburg take on Hoffenheim, Frankfurt and Hannover. Hamburg, Mainz, this is huge. Hamburg 17th, spiraling out of control. They have been in all sorts of struggles recently. They take on Mainz, who need a win to get themselves out of the relegation zone. So very big match, this one in Hamburg. Schalke and Hertha Berlin, Wolfsburg and Leverkusen. Big test for Wolfsburg. They need a win as well to distance themselves from the drop zone. And bottom place Cologne take on Stuttgart. Cologne will win this one. Cologne will win and for the first time be... will not be 18th in the standings. I think this will be the first time in a long time, and they will win, and they will keep their hopes of survival alive. Another big weekend in the Bundesliga, despite the sad fact that Bayern Munich, well, they had the title wrapped up weeks ago. Not mathematically yet, but very close to doing so. La Liga and Ligue 1 still to come. Some transfer rumours, as always, swirling around Europe as well. We will... keep the lines open, 99 44 99 99. We're at FNR _ radio if you'd like to share your thoughts as well. Rick and I will be back shortly on the Euro Show on FNR Football Nation Radio.
He's not just graceful, he's strong and determined. And look at the acceleration. It's a wonderful run from Kaká. It's a wonderful goal from Kaká.
Here's Raul. Zidane.
Bein Sports Connect. Australia's number one football streaming destination. The Euro Show with Adriano Del Monte on FNR, Football Nation Radio.
We are whizzing through another hour here on the Euro Show on FNR, Football Nation Radio, your voice of football in Australia. The Colomba, the traditional Easter dove cake, Rick, is still up for grabs. Keep the tweets coming through at FNR _ radio. That's, of course, thanks to our great friends at Etal, giving you the opportunity to win a premium packed Etal Colomba. So get on the line, 99 44 99 99, or tweet us at any stage. La Liga time, Rick. Big, big weekend. 13 matches still to come, of course. 3 tomorrow morning. Las Palmas, Barcelona, the first one we'll start with. Atleti had a win this morning, keeping the pressure on Barca for now, but you'd imagine Barca will cruise to another win as they prepare for their second leg against Chelsea.
Yeah, you'd think, you know, 3-4, 5-0 might be a result that could actually occur in this match. The only query I have is whether Valverde will actually go all out and whether he will play all his stars, or whether he might actually choose to rest a couple ahead of the first v second match against Atletico Madrid in a couple of days' time.
Yeah, lots of football to come for Barcelona. A tricky period ahead, obviously. Las Palmas now, Atleti just 72 hours later, not even 72 hours later. That's at home. Malaga, then that return leg against Chelsea. Bilbao, Sevilla, there's still a Clásico to come as well. So lots of football, Copa del Rey final, lots of action for Barcelona. A very busy period for all of Europe's top clubs indeed in this period. Two other fixtures tomorrow, Betis, Sociedad. I love watching Betis play their football. Great opportunity for them to get another win, to get back into seventh. Huge chance there. And Alaves, Levante, huge for the relegation zone.
Absolutely. We will get to see the new Real Sociedad goalkeeper, Moya, who signed from Atletico Madrid, only as of this morning. Unfortunately for all Atletico Madrid players, team and followers, they are now down to 17 players, as we are aware, plus the two goalkeepers.
Unbelievable stuff. Absolutely unbelievable. In this day and age, we are that low. They are one or two injuries away from legitimate disaster. They're lucky that they're really not competing for much. But while I say that, Atleti, all of a sudden, let's say Las Palmas cause a shock this morning or tomorrow morning and defeat Barcelona. It is 4 points between Atleti and Barcelona. So all of a sudden, if they take, there's a lot of they and if and when and maybe, but if Atleti can maintain this gap, one slip up by Barcelona, and obviously a must win for Atleti at the Nou Camp this weekend, where we of course know they have done that before. course, wrapping up the title there a couple of years ago. Atleti have an opportunity to maintain the pace. Best defensive record in La Liga. Wonderful to watch. And recently scoring goals as well. 9 in their last 2. We mentioned this morning against Leganes. 5 away to Vincenzo Montella's Sevilla at the weekend. So I'm liking what I'm seeing, from this Atleti side. And obviously with no Champions League to contend with, maybe Atleti, which is 4 points and a match extra than Barcelona played at the moment, maybe still in the running for the title. For the other weekend fixtures, Barca, Atleti, undoubtedly the big one. But Real Madrid, Getafe will be interesting because, well, Getafe have been playing some nice football. Not so nice away from home. They haven't been as solid at all. Just 1 win. It's unbelievable. The away records of some of the bottom clubs, very poor. In fact, there are 6 clubs in Spain, which is 1 win on the road in 12 or 13 fixtures all season. So teams don't travel so well in the La Liga. But Real Madrid obviously will welcome back Ronaldo for this one in the lead up to that second leg against PSG. PSG likely to be without Neymar. More on that shortly, but huge opportunity for Ronaldo and Real to bounce back from a very disappointing 1-0 defeat against Espanyol.
And they probably also want to put the boot into Getafe because Getafe are in that battle between, say, 6th and 10th that is very, very close. I think there's like 4 points between them all. So it's a very tight battle. It could come down to that being a final Europa League spot. So Getafe are all about getting the win, getting the 3 points. So they're going to go out and attack. It doesn't matter who the opposition is. It just happens to be that it is one of the best teams in world football that have been in form and only dropped a match, I think, in about six matches all of a sudden during the week. So they're going to be fired up and it's going to be a tough battle if they're going to get all 3 points.
Elsewhere in Spain this weekend, Villarreal Girona is the first match of the 27th match day. Sevilla Bilbao, very interesting one. Deportivo at home to the very strong Eibar. Leganes host Malaga. Real Getafe, as we said. Levante Espanyol, Sociedad Alaves, Valencia, Betis, and Celta Vigo, Las Palmas.
Villarreal, they're going to have a little bit of a tough couple of days because they've just played Eibar and they've lost 1-0. They don't want to lose to another one of those teams that are in that 6-10 bracket as well in this weekend. So they're going to have to come out the LS Submarines and actually put on a show and even get a good result here.
Big weekend of Spanish action. Remember, the La Liga as well as the Liga and Bundesliga and Serie A and, of course, the Champions League and Europa League. Every game of those competitions available live on Bein Sports Connect or later via catch-up. French Ligue 1, before we get into the fixtures, PSG have announced and confirmed that surgery for Neymar will take place at the end of the week. So I'd imagine that would be in the next 24 to 36 hours, meaning he will miss this weekend. He will miss the Real Madrid second leg clash. A huge blow to Paris Saint-Germain. But we saw what Di Maria did as his replacement this morning in the Coupe de France quarterfinal. So hopefully for their sake, he can continue that sort of form and they can cope without him. But PSG in action away against Troyes this weekend in the league. I don't think they'll field a full-strength side, but I'm certain they'll win.
I agree with you there 100%. You can't see them losing this game. They are far and away the best team in France. Even if they field, you know, their third string under 15 team, they'll probably still win 1-0. So no disrespect there to Troyes, but I think PSG just too strong and too focused here on winning the title and cleaning up everyone in front of them.
Nice host Lille. Monaco, Bordeaux. Monaco still second in Ligue 1, 14 points behind Paris Saint-Germain. Amiens, Rennes, Angers, Guingamp. Metz host Toulouse. Big opportunity here for Metz. Toulouse not in great form recently. Metz needing a win. They've fallen 9 points behind Angers and Troyes, who are 17th and 18th with regards to relegation. Metz bottom with 19 points. Saint-Étienne, Dijon, Cannes, Strasbourg. Keep in mind Cannes to play tomorrow morning against Lyon in the Coupe de France quarterfinals, so a busy period for them. Strasbourg hopeful of a first win in 3. Montpellier, Lyon, probably the pick of the fixtures this weekend. Lyon's struggles really continue. They've been very poor. They too, obviously, in action tomorrow morning. And the final match, Marseille and Claudio Ranieri's Nantes. Marseille in good touch. Obviously, though, 2 straight defeats, 3-0. Both those defeats to PSG. However, a big opportunity for them to bounce back against a Nantes side who are winless in their last 4 in Ligue 1. As I said, PSG top, 14 clear of Monaco, further 2 to Marseille, and they are 5 clear of Lyon. The top 3 sides in the French Ligue 1 will advance directly to the UEFA Champions League next season in that revamped format. So big weekend of France. Full review of all the action across Europe's top leagues on Monday, 1 p.m. live here on FNR Football Nation Radio in our Euro show. Then, before we wrap up, Rick, some transfer news that has come across my desk here, mostly in Italy, but we'll start with Real Madrid while we were in Spain not so long ago. They have joined the race for Emre Can of Liverpool, according to Gazzetta dello Sport. So Can, young, highly rated midfielder of Liverpool, German international, Sami Khedira lookalike, great player, wonderful future ahead. Juventus have been tipped to win his signature all season. In fact, they were close to signing him at the start of the season. That failed to materialise, but Real Madrid now said to be in the race for him. They can't sign everyone, Real Madrid, but you just get the feeling with these players being strongly linked to the club now, obviously up front as well with the uncertainty over the Benzema, Bale futures, even Ronaldo at times, you just feel that failure to win anything this season, which is a likely outcome for Real Madrid, failure to win anything will ensure significant change next season.
It almost happens every 4 years. That's what they seem to do, Real Madrid. When they don't seem to win anything or they underperform compared to what their lofty standards are, they do go on a spree. I mean, Kaká and Ronaldo were the two that were brought in about 8 years ago. Obviously, Kaká sort of didn't perpetuate and go too far. James Rodriguez was one that was brought in only after the last World Cup. You just have to wonder that if they get Can, they just provide more midfield depth to that team because they've already got Modric, they've already got Cruz, they've already got Casemiro, they've already got Lucas Vazquez. Now they bring in Emre Can. Where will he fit in the whole scheme? He's not going to leave a club that he's already contending for a Champions League to go to another one and sit on a bench. So you have to wonder where he will sit in the grand scheme of things.
And particularly with the likes of Modric, Casemiro, Toni Kroos, none of them really appear to be moving anywhere. So for Can to go there and sit on the bench, I don't see the purpose. But sometimes players aspire to play at the very big clubs in Real Madrid, well, it's as big as it gets. So you can't rule that out, but Real Madrid surprisingly joining the race. Juve, though, appear to have had a deal done for some time. So I would be surprised if he doesn't make the move to Juventus, but time will tell. A long time to go between that becomes official. Elsewhere, Kondogbia, of course, the French international, sort of. He probably won't go to the World Cup, but Kondogbia, who is owned by Inter, on loan at Valencia. Valencia are set to make that loan move a permanent move, €25 million, the fee that also, according to Gazzetta dello Sport. Torreira, who is a superstar young midfielder at Sampdoria, he has rejected terms by AC Milan to remain at the club. Very interesting. And finally, while with AC Milan, Romagnoli, who was linked to Juventus and Chelsea, he's set to reject both those clubs to remain with Milan next season, according to Sky Italia. He's been in some great touch this season, so good to see a young player perhaps staying with the Rossoneri, good for their future.
And he could probably build a back four with the likes of Davide Calabria, with the likes of Andrea Conti when he's back fully fit, Ricky Rodriguez and obviously Bonucci there. He's mental, basically.
Promising times ahead for the Rossoneri there. We are out of time for today. A very entertaining hour of European action. Rick, thank you as always for your contributions over the week. Rick and I will be back Monday, though, with another edition of the Euro Show. But for now, from me, Adriano Del Monte, here on FNR Football Nation Radio, your voice of football throughout Australia. Until next time, it's goodbye for now.
The Euro Show with Adriano Del Monte on FNR, Football Nation Radio.